American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Let's just get started, and hopefully we will be able to get Al connected here shortly. But if you didn't already hear for today, and yes, we do things very professionally here at Discount Gold and Silver. Once in a while, we have these little bit of snafus at the beginning of the program, but for whatever reason, and everybody just loves technology. But let's get started right away. Today's October 6th, 2015. It's Tuesday. Let's go ahead and get right into the market report today. We had a nice day in gold today, up $11 at $1,147.90. Silver is up 16 cents at $15.93. We had a big day in silver. It was up over 1%. However, the high on the day was $16.19, backed off the high on the day. And so it was good to see it over 16. Didn't hold, but we'll see if we can't tomorrow. Platinum was up $21,939. Palladium was up 14 at $709. Both of them had big days over 2%. USDX today is down 0.64 at 95.42. Crude oil up big, 2.41 at 48.67. And the paper markets today, they were quite volatile today. In the positive and the negative, ended the day in the positive. The Dow up 13 points at 16,790. I've had some big moves lately. Remember, we were getting ready to break 16,000, and now we're at 16,800 almost, so $800 move here in the last week or so. The NASDAQ still down 32 points at 47.48. The S&P down 7 at 1979. Again, we had that big day in oil, the 10-year yield 2.04%, down 0.02. World markets pretty much, you know, Japan was up 1%, Germany, London, Hong Kong, just pretty much flat on the day. And those are your markets for today. And I will check to see if Alfred is on the line with us now. Please respond.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am, and maybe I'm not, Melody.
All righty. Tough day getting started, but we'll keep moving right along.
But it'll be easy to finish. It may be a tough day getting started, but it'll be easy to finish.
I guess. A few minutes shorter than normal. But, you know, there was more discussions coming out today on the world, on that Trans-Pacific partnership today. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, getting it approved. And, you know, I saw Obama's speech today, his commentary on it. And, of course, he pats himself on the back for supposedly getting this great deal done. And this deal, this trade agreement, is about 40% of the global economy. He says we're going to be able to sell more products, more services, American agriculture, American manufacturing. We're going to be able to get those to markets that American companies that produce here in the U.S. that are not going to be disadvantaged relative to these markets. Really? You know, and I mean, the arrogance, that you just reading, you can just feel the arrogance in his tone. This is not good for America. It is a secret deal. We don't even know what's in it.
Yeah, if it's and, so good, why won't they tell us what's in it?
Exactly.
All right. You know,
high
like, see, we've got a wonderful Christmas present for you, but we're not going to tell you what it's in it, and we're not going to let you look and see. I think we got a lump of coal coming. That's what I think we've got coming.
And he goes on and talks about, oh, it's just to read the whole thing just turned my stomach. He talks about the benefits of selling to the United States, okay? There's high standards around labor and environment. That's what it's all about. It's all about this environment are actually enforceable. If countries aren't abiding by them, then they don't get the benefits of selling to the United States under the terms of this agreement. And under this agreement, we, rather than countries like China, are writing the rules for the global economy. Really? That's the pitch that's going to be used to promote this to the American people. You know,
well,
that it's going to be.
Do they have any say on this?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so. I think Congress will vote for it and say, well, there was nothing we could do. And I doubt that they will even have read it and understood what's going on before they vote for it. They say, well, our hands were tied. There was nothing we could do. You shouldn't vote for any law. No congressman or senator should vote positively for any law that they haven't had time to read. Laws are like chains around the people's necks, and these idiots in Washington don't have enough respect for the American people to even inspect the chains to see if there's any burrs that'll be digging into your neck after you wear this chain. It's irresponsible. It's an abomination.
He says this agreement has the strongest labor standards of any trade agreement in history, including setting fair hours, prohibiting child labor, prohibiting forced labor. Yeah, that's because all the jobs are going to be going over there, so we're going to protect, you know, all their labor and labor standards over there because the jobs are going over there. They're not coming here. And it opens up so many things, and they're going to push this with, you know, the public. When they talk about the public, it isn't the public. It's the mayors. It's the governors of the states because, you know, hey, they have to buy them off, you know, and they'll tell them what's
good
for them.
Not hard to do with this economy and in this world. Virtually all of our politicians are treasonous whores who are for sale to the highest bidder. And all of them will sit back and say, well, it's the way the game is played, and they've got to do it to be competitive, get reelected. And the damnable thing about this is these jackasses in Washington actually think we need them there. And they are willing to take bribes. They call them political campaign contributions, but they will take bribes. And they'll do it because they believe that it's the way they ensure that they be reelected because they're doing such a great job. There's not one congressman, not one senator in this country that deserves to be there who has taken a bribe. And they'll all say, oh, we haven't taken any bribes. These are political campaign contributions. And the Supreme Court has sprinkled holy water on it by declaring that political campaign contributions are a variety of free political speech, and therefore they can't inhibit these things. It's crazy. It's madness. It's the sort of thing that heralds the end of the country. We're going to expire in this immorality.
What's disturbing is that he goes on and he talks about how this is going to help that the American workers and American businesses are getting a fair shot, and that made in America, those products and services can be sold in places where there's going to be significant demand. Significant demand? Well, we already know Canada's in a recession. We already know Japan can't get out of theirs. We only know Malaysia, okay? Where are all these people going to be buying American products?
Oh,
they don't
have
any money. They're
maybe
just
South
as
Dakota.
Broke. They're just
South
as
Dakota,
broke.
Maybe.
They're not going to buy anything from America that's made in them because they're just as broke as the people here in the States, is my point. There's no money in order to support any made in America products, unfortunately.
I'll tell you another thing about this. When the way you describe the bill with its focus on environmentalism, for example, makes you wonder, is the real object of this bill to set up a trade partnership or to have something to do with controlling the world's environmental problems? I mean, if you're going to negotiate a deal, if I'm going to sit down and negotiate a deal, do business with some corporation, all right, I'm going to provide a product at a certain price, and if we can cut the deal, they will agree to buy it at a particular price. But where would I get off by saying, well, I'm not going to sell it to you unless you clean up your pollution problems and the rest of that. I understand that pollution problems need to be addressed. But there's a difference between business and pollution. These are two different concepts to at least significant degree, and I wonder what's the real motivation on this Trans-Pacific Partnership? Is it to increase business or is it to increase control over the world's environment?
Well, part of that he talked about in his little speech says that it includes the high, and the two don't go together, environmental, the two don't, but he says it includes the highest environmental standards in history and prevents overfishing. Okay, so now those poor people in these Asian countries can go hungry and make sure that wildlife trafficking isn't decimating wildlife that are a world treasure.
Well, you know, one of the other things that everyone seems to understand is that when we have to make a choice between protecting the environment and protecting people's jobs. The two are not mutually compatible.
No.
We can't sit back and say we're going to protect the environment and we're going to have more jobs. Right? Now, I'm not saying that we should choose one way or the other, but I am saying that a choice must be made. And if we're going to have a Trans-Pacific Partnership, and Obama is saying it's going to increase jobs, how is it going to increase jobs and also increase environmental regulations? I don't think the two are compatible. If we're going to increase environmental regulations, we're going to diminish jobs. If we're going to increase jobs, we're going to diminish the environmental problem. We're going to increase environmental problems. What do we do under these circumstances? And most of all, you know, these are tough things. These are difficult problems. There's no easy solution. I can't tell you what's right and wrong on this, but I can tell you that it's wrong for Obama to stand up and tell us that we will both repair the environment and, two, create more jobs. We're not going to do both of these. And it's wrong for him to be lying to the American people. Somewhere along the line, somebody ought to tell us the truth once in a while. Let's take a break for some commercials, Melody. It's our time. It's our break time. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with co-host Melody Cederstrom, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. I've got an article here from ZeroHedge.com, and the headline is, Treasury sells three-month bills at 0% yield for first time ever. Now, this is kind of interesting. There are interesting questions. excuse me.
Bless you.
The article says investors are so desperate to hold on to short-term paper that they paid $100 for a three-month treasury bill at today's auction. That is a 0% yield for the first time ever. Lower even than the auction right after Lehman's bankruptcy in November 2008. Now, it is probably safe to say that negative interest rate percentage is next, followed by more negative yields further to the right of the curve as the U.S. gradually becomes Europe. But don't worry. As Yellen admitted during her health care scare speech, nominal interest rates cannot go much below zero. But she's implying they can go below zero, interest rates below zero. What fools these investors be? Why would anyone think so highly of U.S. bonds that they'd be willing to risk investing in them at 0% interest rates? Does that make any sense? It doesn't right off the top. It's like saying, I would like to buy a bond from one of you folks that doesn't pay any interest. Why would I want to do that? There may be a reason. Maybe it's not so dumb, because perhaps investors are betting that deflation will cause U.S. bonds to be repaid with more expensive dollars. Right? Meaning that if I invested in a bond today, take a bond for $1,000, no interest on it. I'm putting up $1,000 and I don't stand to get any interest on it. But if the dollar increases in value due to deflation, if deflation persists by, say, 10% over the time I hold the bond, then I will actually make a 10% return on my bond. I'll still get, if I took a $1,000 bond, I'll still get $1,000 back. But they'll have, each of those dollars will have $1.10 purchasing power as compared to the purchasing power they had when the bond was originally negotiated. Now, the problem with all of this, even if people are betting that we're going to go into an era of deflation and the bonds will pay off in more expensive dollars, you'll have to wonder, don't people understand that the U.S. national debt is too big to ever be repaid in full? Yes, deflation may increase the purchasing power of U.S. bonds. More may be gained through deflation than through inflation, than through interest rates. But deflation causes the U.S. government's national debt to increase in value. If we have $18 trillion in the national debt, and we go through 10% deflation, the size of the national debt will remain at $18 trillion, the nominal size, but in terms of purchasing power, it will be increased by almost another $2 trillion. It will be up by 10%, almost another $2 trillion. The point behind all of this is that if we go into deflation, it makes it more difficult for the government to pay its debt. Deflation pushes the government closer to admitting that it can't pay its debts and is therefore insolvent. The government can't long survive having to repay its massive debts with deflated, more valuable dollars. As I've said for years, what can't be paid won't be paid. Deflation makes U.S. national debt increasingly difficult to pay and increasingly unlikely to be paid. Which means that even though some people can look at these bonds and say, ha-ha, there's going to be deflation, and when I get my bond back for $1,000, it'll actually have, say, $1,100 in purchasing power. I'm making money off the bonds. If the bonds can be repaid, the government is already in great jeopardy. And in a period of deflation, it becomes more in jeopardy. All right? And this is, it's one of these things where you look at it and you wonder, are these people brilliant or are they fools? The ones that are willing to invest in U.S. bonds right now with a 0% interest rate. Are they clever? Are they brilliant? Are they, you know, geniuses? Or are they fools? And to my mind, they are assuming an unnecessary risk. And we'll watch and see how it works out. But I think they're going to regret buying bonds at 0%. And who, incidentally, is buying U.S. bonds at zero interest rate percentage? Are those bonds being purchased by private U.S. investors, foreign investors, or official investors like the Federal Reserve or the Central Bank of Belgium? Whoever is buying these zero interest rate bonds are apparently betting that the American dollar is sliding into an era of deflation. Incidentally, investing in U.S. bonds during a period of deflation makes perfect sense you know, again, since the debt will be repaid with more valuable dollars. But the fly in the ointment is that deflation increases the value of the national debt. And if it persists long enough, it'll cause government to default on some or all of its debts. How much is a bond worth, even in a period of deflation, if the government that issued the bond is forced to default? Melody, are you going to buy any bonds?
Mm-hmm. No. I never, I just couldn't agree on loaning my money to any government. They get enough of my money, I'm not going to loan them any money. I mean, that was just an idea that I could never grasp. But I get it. You know, I get retirees like it. They like the, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? No. I just will never give my money. I don't care what the rate is. You know, because I figured if bonds are paying, you know, 20%, so is the CDs at the bank. So anyway, and I wouldn't. We do have a caller. And Jim from West Virginia.
I do. Y'all doing good today?
Absolutely.
Can't complain. What up, Jim?
I think you're doing great. Well, you know, you take these pieces of paper, these agreements, treaties, whatever you want to call them, covenants, they mean nothing without enforcement. And, of course, we pay attention to inflation, deflation, and foreign exchange rates and say this, that, and the other, and the better exports, imports. And, yeah, there's a fly in the ointment about the inflation, deflation. The big thing is the elephant in the room, the obvious, which people keep overlooking, and that has to do with business taxes, rules, and regulations. American goods cannot and will not compete stateside or overseas with a tax burden on them. It's just that simple. You know, America was great economically because of the biggest bang for the buck, because we had the most efficient production. Now we're amongst the least efficient. Why? Due to government. And it really jacks my wires when I sit there and I see the American worker being blamed for American business troubles. The truth of the matter is that American workers' wages are nothing compared to the tax load. With the tax load, the government walks in and sucks the lifeblood out of a business called money. So the business gets the blame for the high prices, as well as the worker, too. And the government gets the money. And what the bleep do they do with it? So, folks, if you want economic revitalization wherever you are, understand that all these red code agencies are eating out our substance. They're all corporations. They're engaged in what I would call racketeering. And look, the federal government has got to come apart. No government since at least ancient Rome has survived the collapse of its currency. The government has to come apart. You better get used to the idea of life without all these sneaking agencies. You might start right now. Push them out. Just hold them up and say, listen, you're a corporation, EPA. Do you have a license to do business in West Virginia or wherever? I don't think so. Oh, you're a corporation. Do you pay corporate income taxes? You're supposed to. Now, folks, the simple truth of the matter is this. As long as we're distracted by various things like the numbers and the unemployment, this, that, and the other, yeah, but what causes all of it? It's a destruction of American businesses with taxes. If you have a factory which makes $10 million worth of widgets, it has a 10% profit. It doesn't matter whether it's owned by a bunch of people or one person. 10%. And the tax man cometh, and he takes that 10%, that $1 million. He just destroyed $9 million worth of commerce. Don't tax me, don't tax thee, tax that business back over there, and we're both out of a job. Okay? I made my point very clear. The point needs to be made time and time and time and time again. The number one economic problem insofar as businesses are concerned, and therefore employment and pricing and availability of goods and services, is our government. Okay?
I agree.
Thank you.
I did an article back. Thank you. I did an article back about 1995. I called it Big, and it was just talking about the consequences of big government. It was back before the Internet caught on, and you could do research by calling the Dallas Public Library. you needed information, you just call up, and they had a facility down there. What's the population of such and such? What's the gross national product of such and such? And they would send, the librarian would send somebody out, and they'd look it up, and they'd come back, get on the phone, and tell you. Well, it was a great, it was nothing compared to the Internet, but at the time, it was a remarkable service. I called them up, and I asked them what the tax rates were. Average tax rates when I was a boy back in 1950, and about 15% of my dad's income went to taxes. At that point, this is about 1995, including hidden taxes, the tax burden had increased from 15% when I was a little boy. By 1995, we were up, what was that, 45 years later, thereabouts? We were up to 55%. The average man was paying 55% of his income was going to state, local, and hidden taxes and federal taxes. All right? And President Clinton, when he was in office, back about, 94, 96, someplace around the same time, he predicted that the next generation would be paying 80% of its income in taxes. I don't doubt that right now, 60-70% of your income, ladies and gentlemen, if you check to see how much goes to state, how much goes to local, how much goes to federal, and how much hidden taxes are built into every product that you purchase, I'm going to make you bet that 70% or more of your income is going to government right now. We are slaves to this damn government. And someone needs to just say, take all your brilliant ideas and shove them. We're not going to support one more program that raises taxes by one nickel. If you got any more brilliant ideas on how to raise on services that need to be provided, you're going to have to gut some other programs. If you need another $50 million, fine. Take $50 million out of some other program that we don't need. But don't raise taxes another dime. And in fact, what really needs to be done, again, my dad, 1950, we're the most prosperous country on earth. We're the wealthiest country on earth. My dad's total tax burden was about 15% of his gross. It's part of the reason why my mother could stay home and raise me and my sister. Today, when the government takes over half of your income in the form of state, local, federal, and hidden taxes, one man can't make enough money to let his wife stay home and raise the kids. Mom has to have a job. You haven't come a long way, baby, which is what women are moving into the get into business and the rest of that sort of thing. You have to work. Why? So we can support the national government and allow them to invade Iraq, Afghanistan, station troops all over the world, send our jobs to foreign countries, and then they sit back and say, gee, this is so surprising that we're having problems. You know, the Founding Fathers understood this clearly. The principal enemy of the people of the United States of America was then and would always be the government of the United States. They understood it. That's why they wrote the Constitution as an anti-government document. It's why they divided the powers of government into three separate entities. It's why, again, right to keep and bear arms, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, elections every 2 years. The whole idea of the Constitution was to try to limit the powers of government, and the government has sat back and said, to hell with that. We want to be big and powerful, and we want to rule. And we, as a people, have been irresponsible and negligent and stupid. We've trusted the government, and the government has betrayed our trust every single time. You know, I've made the argument a number of times over the years. If you are a good American, you don't trust the government. And some people say, you can't say that. And I can say, yes, I can. And I'll tell you why. Because if I can argue that to be a good American means living in harmony with the spirit of the Constitution. When you read the Constitution of the United States and you understand what it means, you recognize, my God, it's an anti-government document. It is intended to protect us from the government, from the federal government. That is the purpose of the Constitution. And the government has used loopholes and whatever other trickery it can come up with to allow itself to keep on grabbing more power and more power. And how does it work out? While these idiots in Washington, these treasonous whores who should be tried for treason and if found guilty, not jailed, hanged, hanged in public. Hang them. What has happened? They have very nearly destroyed our economy. We've gone from the richest country in the world to the world's biggest debtor under the central planning of the sociopaths, psychopaths, and morons who masquerade as government officials in Washington, D.C. You must work to put your government under control, and you can't ask about it. You're going to have to tell the SOBs they'd better pull in their horns, they'd better get off our backs, or we're going to scrape them off. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
A Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, it looks like we have a caller from Texas, Davey.
Good afternoon.
Are you there?
Can you hear me,
Davey?
Now?
Can yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, great.
You're fine.
Good. Well, basically, I just called in to talk about the language. You know, I kind of like to listen to Al sometimes when he gets on a roll there. You know, originally, you know, I remember Al used to really carry on about the Constitution and sometimes maybe even the preamble of the Constitution, but...
Preamble,
you know,
to the Bill of Rights. Preamble to the Bill of Rights.
Right, you know, from memory, it seems to me that it says something right there at the very beginning about justice.
Well, you're right. You are talking about the preamble of the Constitution. Yeah, I give you that.
Yeah, okay, and then so, I mean, the issue is, of course, one of good faith, because if one party never acts in good faith and there is no justice, then we don't have any, quote, government. We have a crime syndicate, we have terrorists who print money, or excuse me, currency, but we don't really have, quote, a government that's interested in justice, you know, for the benefit of the people on the land, so the deal is off, you know, I mean, in which case it reverts back to the individual on the land. And they should govern themselves accordingly, correct?
They should. You know how the law is set up. We've got, first you got to have God's law.
Oh,
right?
Really?
First you have God's law. But God doesn't establish law for everything. Right? There's room
well,
for how fast
to
drive in school.
I saw a boy one time jumped off a building. He was bow-legged because he broke both his legs. And he probably didn't think gravity was God's law, but turned out it was. You know what I mean?
It's unfortunate that all of God's laws are not as immediately enforceable as gravity.
But they do come about in time. You know, that I think that's somewhere over there in Proverbs. You know?
I agree. But here's my point. The law is in layers. It's in a hierarchy where God's law is number one, and it tells the people what to do. And then the people can go ahead and they can set up their own law to run their government. It's called the Organic Law of the United States of America. It includes the Declaration of Independence, Articles of Confederation, Northwest Ordinance, and the Constitution of the United States. This is the people's law. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution. It's the people's law. That's God's law, number one, for the people. The people's law controls the government. The government's law are the statutes that are passed by government in Washington, D.C., or your state capitals.
As long
the people
as they
are supposed
don't,
to obey God's law, and the government is supposed to obey the people's law, but the government says, to heck with that, we don't want to obey the people's law, and they certainly don't want to obey God's law. They want to be all the law by themselves, and they want all of us to be subject to their law, or in fact, the government is supposed to be subject to our law, the people's law, the Constitution. You catch what I'm saying here?
It would be imperative for the people themselves to be cognizant and knowledgeable about what the truth actually is. Before they start telling their lies, whether it's on TV, radio, or the pulpit stump or whatever.
There's the problem.
There's the problem. And so maybe, you know, it'd be time for people to address the issue of double-mindedness, because I know from having taught little children how to swim, and, you know, you take little children to the zoo, if you have a little six-year-old boy that knows the difference between an elephant and a giraffe, you're not going to confuse him.
Yeah.
And the fact is, a crime syndicate is not government for Americans or Texans. And you know, Al, whether it's at Waco or Ruby Ridge or Oklahoma City or 9/11, they mass murder people. Yeah. And they print currency and own the media, and they don't have authority. Anyway, I really appreciate the comments of Jim from time to time in West Virginia. And I just wanted to say thanks for all you do, too, you and Melody.
All right, Davey, thank you.
Have a good afternoon. Hey, man, did you happen to hear about old Matt Drudge showing up to visit Alex Jones today?
No.
Mm-mm.
Well,
first
you might
want
to listen to that if you can pull it up on the Internet. And the main thing is, you know, you had that Annie Shyster magazine with that tsunami wave coming.
Yep.
Well,
talking about
you really captured the idea of the Internet there. in a big way. And the truth is, everybody on Earth is not held hostage by these lying perverts over here in the so-called media in America. People can find out the truth, and a lot of them have, thanks to you and Melody and a lot of other people have put in a lot of time and effort. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Davey.
Thank you,
Davey. All righty.
You know, Davey mentioned problems with his fiat currency. What's the biggest problem with the fiat currency? And you can begin to understand it. You can begin to understand the profound danger and the profound criminal reality of our fiat currency, our fiat dollars, our Federal Reserve notes. If you simply consider what happens when you go use your own checkbook to buy something. Suppose I write a check for $10,000 to Davey, who was just on the phone, to buy a used pickup from him. Okay, I'm going to give him 10 grand. I'm going to give him a check for 10 grand, and he is going to give me his pickup truck. Is Davey paid when I give him my check? And the answer is no, he's not. All he has is a promise to pay. He has the equivalent of an IOU. Davey's not paid until he takes my check, deposits my check in his account, and the bank charges that check back against my account, back in my bank. And if I have $10,000 in the bank, account, the process takes $10,000 out of my account and deposits it into Davey's account. And for the sake of this argument, this metaphor, Davey's now been paid. But the point I'm trying to illustrate is that when I write the check, the amount of the check must be withdrawn from my account. I must make good on the check. Now, consider the Federal Reserve notes. Matter of fact, before we even consider Federal Reserve notes, consider when we used to have currency, money, that was backed by gold and silver coin. If a gold certificate was issued by the federal government, the United States Treasury, and you had one for, say, $1,000, you could walk into a bank and say, here I have this piece of paper. It says it's worth $1,000. I want $1,000 in gold. I think that would be 50 ounces at that time. 20 bucks an ounce, I think that would work out to 50 ounces. I want $1,000. All right. They would take the piece of paper, give you the 50 ounces of gold, and go through a certain mechanical process until 50 ounces of gold was withdrawn from the U.S. Treasury to make good on this $1,000 gold certificate. All right? If the Treasury issued the note, the Treasury had to make good on it. If a local bank had private banks that issued their own currency, if they issued the currency and you came back to the bank and said, I'd like the $500 silver dollars for the $500 check I've got here, or the $500 note that you issued, fine, they take $500 out of their account and give it to you. Now let's consider that. Let's compare that to the modern Federal Reserve note. When Federal Reserve notes are written by the Federal Reserve and loaned into the body politic, into the economy, who redeems those Federal Reserve notes? Again, if I write a check, I sign my name at the bottom of the check, I give $10,000 to Davey, Davey puts it in the bank, it charges 10 grand against my account. I'm the guy that signed my name on the note. The bill is charged to my account. When we had gold and silver, we had, our currency was backed by gold and silver. When you went in and deposited a note from the U.S. Treasury that said it was worth $1,000 in gold, when you deposited that, you could get $1,000 in gold ultimately from the U.S. Treasury. They wrote the note. They signed the note. That note is charged against the U.S. Treasury, and they redeem it by giving you $500 or $1,000 in gold in this particular hypothetical example. Now, what happens when the Federal Reserve signs these little green pieces of paper and we start using them as money? Who redeems the Federal Reserve note? And the answer is not the Federal Reserve. If you go to the Federal Reserve with a $100 bill, for example, and say, I don't like this $100 bill, I want to redeem this for lawful money, what they will do, they're not going to give you gold, they're not going to give you silver, they'll give you a fresh, new $100 bill for your old wrinkled $100 bill. But they will not redeem the note in anything tangible. So who does redeem the $100 note? And the answer is your neighbors and the people in your community and the businesses, and you yourself are redeeming these notes because you're willing to work for them. Somebody took some notes from the Federal Reserve, got a stack of $100 notes. I'm a businessman. I've got a bunch of employees. What do? I give these people $100 notes. How are they redeemed? I don't redeem them. Federal Reserve doesn't redeem them. They take them downtown and they buy some groceries, or they buy a new flat screen TV, or they buy a new bass boat. But when they spend the $100 notes, they are redeeming them with tangible physical property, or sometimes services, goods, services, generally tangible, but not necessarily. But the public is redeeming the Federal Reserve notes. You and I make these notes good when we accept them for our labor, for our private property. We're making the goods. We didn't write the notes. If I write a check, I have to redeem the note. If the U.S. Treasury was writing a gold certificate, the U.S. Treasury had to redeem the note. When the Federal Reserve issues those notes, we the people redeem them. Now imagine that you were in a situation where you could write a check for $10,000 for Davy's pickup truck, but Davy never charged the check to your account. You got the pickup truck, but Davy never charged it to your account. Instead, he traded it off as an IOU to the guy who lives across the street. And that guy traded it to someone else, and it got knocked around until it was disappeared or removed from circulation. The guy who wrote the check, me, I'm getting a free truck for $10,000. I'm not paying for it. It's not being charged to my account. The same thing is happening with the Federal Reserve and or the national government. Insofar as they use these Federal Reserve notes, and you people are the ones that are redeeming them, you people and me, everybody, insofar as we use them, we are empowering the government to issue these notes and never redeem them. We redeem them. And as a result, government grows bigger and bigger and bigger. If I could write checks and no one would ever redeem them, how long before I could own the whole state of Texas? I can buy Davy's pickup truck today. I can buy a house tomorrow. I can buy a city the day after that and the state on the third day. Nobody redeems my checks. I can buy anything I want. They don't charge the checks to my account. We don't charge the Federal Reserve notes to the government's account. We don't charge the Federal Reserve notes to the Federal Reserve. We are redeeming the government's notes among ourselves by accepting them in payment for our labor and for our private property. And it creates an opportunity for government to grow fabulously wealthy and fabulously powerful because it never really has to pay its bills. Well, when you compare this circumstance, how the Federal Reserve notes are handled today, as compared to what we've done with checks throughout your lifetime and mine, what we've done with gold certificates and silver certificates when the government and or the Federal Reserve and or private banks had to redeem these certificates, and we see that the Federal Reserve and or the government doesn't redeem the pieces of paper that they're passing out as money. It's no surprise that we have a government that is enormous, corrupt, oppressive. They just keep looking at it. They get it. They understand the racket. And they say, look, the people, they're dumb. They're dumb. You understand? They'll let us write these checks, essentially, and they never get charged to our account. Think how much money we can make. Think how much power we can have. Government doesn't have to pay its bills. And this is going to be a terrible situation because there are trillions of dollars that are overseas. And one of these days, people are going to want to redeem those trillion dollars. And how do you suppose they're going to do it? They're going to come to this country and they're going to buy Davy's pickup truck. or maybe his house, or maybe his land, or maybe the state he lives in. We, the people, are going to wind up redeeming the government's Federal Reserve notes that have been held by foreigners. And we will not enjoy it. We will not prosper. We will not do well. And it's built into the system. We should have never had this kind of monetary system, but thanks to our government, the Federal Reserve, we have. And if we get smart, maybe we'll change it. And if we do, we can perhaps restore a prosperous country. But until that time, we are headed for trouble and more trouble and bigger trouble. I want to thank all of you for listening. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.